You would turn with your Bibles tonight. We're in the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel, chapter 9. The message tonight is out of Daniel, chapter 9, and the title I've prepared is called Prepared for Prayer. Prepared for Prayer. Why don't we go ahead and stand? We're going to read a little bit of a lengthy passage, 1 through 19. But in honor of God's Word, we will stand and read these passages. Let's go ahead and read them together. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. Here we go. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteous belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, to all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. He hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not thou done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, our Lord, O God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with mighty hands, and hast gotten thee renown. As at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. As for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant, in supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not, for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. All right, very good. Begin a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask your blessing on this message tonight. Lord, we just thank you for this passage of Scripture in Daniel chapter 9. Lord, we just ask that our hearts be prepared to receive your truth tonight from the Scriptures. And Lord, that each one of us could receive the instruction that we need out of this. And Lord, we just thank you for your mercies and your grace on us. And Lord, as we go forth tonight, we ask your blessing and the rest of all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so I thank you for reading all those verses. It's a little bit of a lengthy passage, but it's good to see it all together. So we're going to take an overview of this section here, but focused on, obviously, this prayer of Daniel. And so, here in this section, Daniel presents to us some great insights into prayer, which is what we focus here on our Wednesday messages. These 19 verses are prayed a prayer by Daniel to the Lord on behalf of the people who he loved, which were the people of Israel. And this prayer shows that there are many facets to prayer for it to be effective. And so we want to see here that there's just a lot that we can do to be prepared ourselves when we go to prayer. And so that's the instruction I want us to see from this. And so, Brother Daniel, if I say the word Daniel a lot of times, it's because we're in the book of Daniel, chapter 9. So, welcome, by the way. And so, when we go to prayer, we're going in front of the Lord. We want to be in His presence. And we want to have that desire to identify with God and His person and His plan, His purpose. And we go to prayer with knowing that we want His power to accomplish His will to be done. So in order to do that, we need to open up that communication through prayer. So as we look at this chapter 9, we're going to see there's several great truths here about in which the way Daniel sets out praying. And so, to begin, we'll look at verse 1, where it says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans." So in the first year of his reign, in verse 2, it says, "I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years concerning which, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." So it's a little bit of background here. It's the first year of the Medo-Persian Empire, and Babylon has fallen. And Belshazzar's feast has already taken place, which is back in chapter 5 of Daniel. And the Medes and the Persians have taken over. And Cyrus is now the great world monarch. And so we see in chapter 10 that I think we can say that Darius is also being referred to as Cyrus here. But it's the Medo-Persian day, and Darius sits on the throne. And he's not only the king of Persia, but he has been granted status here as the kind of the seed of the Medes, as it says there in verse 1. And in order that he can be approved by those peoples that come together in his empire. And so he absorbed not only the Persians and the Medes, but the realm of the Chaldeans, which is the Babylonians. And so he brings together a big empire here. And so as we look in verses 1 and 2, we can see that Daniel finds himself reading books, and that these books are ones that the Jewish people, the people of Judah who were in exile, that they had managed to take with them, and likely that these writings were some of the Old Testament. And so, obviously, they had the book of Jeremiah, which was written, and it was destroyed, and then written again, which is found in the book of Jeremiah, tells us that in chapter 36. But among the books which they had, which were read in their exile, were the words of Jeremiah, and that as Daniel was reading in verse 2 here from Jeremiah, he says he came across this prophecy that the desolation of Jerusalem would last about 70 years. And so that struck Daniel as very significant. And for that reality, that kind of hit him because that, you know, he knew that he had been in captivity for about 70 years by now. And so Daniel, in terms of his age, he was right around 80 years old at this point. And he knew that when God had made a prophecy, that God's prophecies were fulfilled. They came to pass. And so he knew that Jeremiah saying it would be about 70 years. And when he read that, he, being himself 80 years old in that area, he knew that this could be fulfilled imminently at any time. And so, so if you can put yourself in Daniel's shoes here, he's thinking, you know, God's will is going to happen here at any point in time. And so, as we connect that to prayer, you might think, well, okay, if Daniel is pretty convinced that it's going to happen, maybe he doesn't need anything to pray about. But that's not the case, because you know, God still wants us to pray, even though His will is going to be accomplished. We don't just sit back and do nothing. we ought to pray, and it should motivate us to prayer. Amen. And so, you know, the Lord is sovereign, and what He has in store for us is going to happen. So Daniel knew that God's sovereignty would reign and His will would come to pass. And so he took God's word literally. That's a good model for us as well. His promises will be accomplished. And so in view of God's sovereignty, he begins to pray. So that's one thing that we need to consider, is that, yes, we can trust in the Lord and His will be accomplished, but it's because of that we should pray. We shouldn't just let it be and say there's nothing that we can do here. We ought to be motivated by that. That's something that we want to see His will accomplished. So through prayer, that can happen. So prayer then is necessary, even though God is sovereign and He will do His will. But our prayers are still desired by Him. So Daniel sets about to pray, knowing that he's going to be obedient and pray. And his heart was to pray. We knew he had a habit in earlier chapters that he prayed three times a day, you know, back to when he was a teenager. So it was just part of his routine to pray. It was his desire. It was his strong conviction to pray always. And so, as he prays, we find in this chapter here a lot of truth about prayer, and I want to give a little outline of eight items in this section 1 through 19 that we can look at and that we can learn about prayer and to help us be better prepared when we go to the Lord in prayer. So, Generally, we have, you know, as humans in the flesh, you know, we're not always perfect with prayer. We stumble sometimes. I stumble sometimes. And, you know, one of the things is we just don't do it enough. We may fall short with having time or distractions. Or just our flesh gets in the way. And so that's one thing. And then the other thing is that even when we get ready to pray, we're not always the best prepared. And so, you know, again, it's our mindset. We don't have the focus. Like, as in this chapter 9 of Daniel, he has tremendous focus to do everything possible to see this prayer be answered by the Lord. And so do we approach our prayer time that way? It's a challenge. It's not easy for us to do that. So we can examine this passage here and learn what it has to say about praying. And it will give us some motivation, I hope, and some things to learn about how we can have more fervency in our prayer. And that fervency can steer us toward the character and the holiness of God. So let's look here at this this prayer of Daniel in chapter 9. So again, Daniel knows what God's plan is. It was revealed to him in the book of Jeremiah. And so Daniel's insights into prophecy led him to pray to the Lord concerning where he wanted to see Scripture fulfilled. And so we see that in chapter 6 and verse 10. So Daniel was, again, I said about 8 years old, yet still he's on his knees thanking God and asking for his guidance and help. And so Daniel knows the situation, and isn't that he's asking for something other than God's will to be accomplished, but he's motivated because he's in the Scripture, he's reading God's Word, and he wants to identify and align with God and what God has already promised to do. And so we will read here that it's on behalf of the people of Israel that he prays. And in effect, you know, at the end, he's going to conclude with a request, finally, in verse 19. And we'll read that, and then we'll go back to some other points, and we'll come back. But so let's take a look at verse 19 of chapter 9. His specific petition from Daniel is, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. So he has, you know, passion in his prayer. Even by the end of all that he's prayed for, the main issue is he wants the Lord to go ahead and do these things and listen and forgive for all the sins, and he wants the Lord's will to be done for God's own sake, not for Daniel's sake or not for the people of Israel's sake. So he wants the Lord to accomplish his will and get on with it. And so let's go back to the beginning of chapter 9 again. And so so specifically in that first verse 2 about where Daniel understood by books the number of the years whereof the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. We see here that God's word should motivate us to pray. And so the more we read, the more we want to know about him. The more it reveals the truth to us. Reveals the truth to us. Our light becomes brighter about the truth of Scriptures. It takes over the darkness of misunderstanding or things of the world. So the more we're in the Scriptures, the more we want to pray. And that's good. So while Daniel was reading the book of Jeremiah, he was prone to pray. And so I would see here that the more we study, the more we learn God's word, the more we're in the truth, we're more intense about our prayer. The more we do want to study even more. And the opposite can happen too, right? You know, the more we're out of the word, the more we let prayer slide. It takes a back seat. We're less motivated to pray. So stay in the word, stay motivated, and keep in prayer. And so prayer is more and more effective the more we are in God's word. That's where it begins. And so, secondly, we see that prayer is grounded in the will of God. So it's not only grounded in the word of God, scriptures, but it's grounded in the will of God as well. So in the second half of verse 2, we see it says that whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So we seek not only to know God's plan, but we want to see it fulfilled. We want to see that happen. And so we want to identify with what God's will is. We want to see it accomplished as soon as the Lord is, in his timing, is ready for it to happen. And so, thirdly, we see that prayer is characterized by a fervency, a passion. Prayer is a passionate involvement in the matters concerning God. We want to know what he's going to do. We're excited about that. We can't wait to see it. So Daniel didn't take this lightly. You know, so in this section here, Daniel is 100% serious about getting a hold of God and communicating with him, seeing that his will can be done, and knowing that it's going to be accomplished. So let's look at verse 3. It says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." So we could almost look at this verse 3 and say, he's pulling all the stops out for this prayer. So first of all, he says, "I set my face." So that doesn't just say, "I sat down to pray." It doesn't just say, "Okay, it's prayer time now." It really speaks to us. It says, "I set my face unto the Lord God." I mean, he's serious here. So he's eliminated distractions. He is 100% concentrated on what he's going to say in this prayer. And he is fully focused, is what it says to me here. And then he goes on to say to seek by prayer and supplications. And he adds to that with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So, you know, so first of all, the fasting, you know, we've seen in other scriptures where fasting is often a case where the individual is going to really get a hold of God by that. You know, something is I really want to get God's attention. Not that he wouldn't listen to us other times, but when we fast, we put aside feeding our bodies food. And so we're willing to make sacrifice, Lord, temporary, so not to a point of unhealthy, but I'm going to give up food and temporarily put that on hold so I can set my concentration fully on this matter that I'm praying about. And so the other two items here, sackcloth and ashes, may be a little less obvious as to what those are, but essentially, you know, like for example, the sackcloth, it's another sign of humility and humbleness. You know, if you picture someone you might encounter along the street clothed in sackcloth, you might just have some things that come to mind that, you know, they're humble. You know, they're at early beginnings. You know, they're not dressed in lavish robes and fancy things, and that's okay. So Daniel is putting himself in this mode of wearing sackcloth or, you know, maybe even rough, uncomfortable clothing that says, that's okay. You know, this is what I want to do to keep myself in a humble mindset here, because it's this prayer that I'm focused on. And so similarly with the ashes, ashes can be a symbol of grief or humility as well. And so typically when we think of ashes, we think of something that might have been destroyed or burned down. And so, but, you know, I think in this case, going along with the fasting and the sackcloth and the ashes, it's all about the theme of putting aside distractions, fully putting your mind and your concentration on your prayers. So, do we do that? How are we at putting aside distractions? You know, I find it pretty challenging. So, as we can look in here in verse 3, there's already some good things that we can anchor on if we're concerned about making our prayers to the Lord more effective. Turn off the distractions. Yes, it's difficult, but you know what you need to do. You know what your distractions are. So the Lord deserves that. Amen. You want to spend that time effectively in prayer and effectively with the Lord. So there's a seriousness. You want to set your face to the Lord in prayer. And then the next thing we see is that starting in verses 4 and following, Daniel speaks in many ways here, but summed up in self-denial, I'll call it. So we see this fervency in verse 3, rather, but a lot of self-denial in verse 4. So first, verse 4 says, "And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." So he doesn't say that, oh, Lord, you need to answer my prayer because you owe me something. You know, he doesn't say that at all. He doesn't say, I have a right to demand an answer of God because of who I am. He comes and says that, in verse 5, says, "We have sinned. We've committed iniquity. We've done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts, from thy judgments." So who are we to say that God owes us something? He doesn't owe us anything. It's by his mercy that he would even respond to our prayer. So we need to recognize in prayer that it's our own unworthiness that's at stake. And we need to deny that we have any power whatsoever. And so if we just are honest with ourselves about that right up front in our prayer, you know, I think the Lord knows that already. But we need to hear it. We need to say it to ourselves. Because that's the truth. And so prayer seeks to not only know God's will and see it, we want to see it fulfilled. We want to see it fulfilled as soon as it's God's will for it to. And that may cost us something along the way in terms of some humility that had to be set aside, etc. But if it's God's will to be accomplished, that's what has to happen. And so he continues here, Daniel does, and he's identifying with the people. And in other words, he's putting aside selfishness. And so that would be good for us to do as well. And so we see as we skim down through verses 5 through 14, all the times where he uses words like we and our and us and all Israel. I'll just point out a few here, and like in verse 5, it says, "We have sinned." Verses 8, in verse 8 says, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, or ashamed face. We're ashamed of what we've done. In verse 11, it says, Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law. And in verse 15, it says, And now, O Lord our God, thou that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renowned, as that this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. So, Daniel is the leader in this case. And although he doesn't point out any particular personal sin in this section, he's identifying himself with the people here. And he's including himself in that. He's not saying he's excluded. He says, we've all sinned here. I'm included. And so, so the essence of we can learn out of this section for prayer is that we need to really pray by putting ourselves aside. And we need to be concerned with what the Lord wants here. And so, again, we need to keep focused on seeking God's plan and knowing God's plan and keep seeking it until it's fulfilled. And it's all about what the Lord's will is here, not our will, not our needs, not what we want. So, the next point in this section 5 through 14 is there's lots of confession going on here. So how do we do at confession? And so, again, we'll start back at verse 3. It says, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And in verse 4, I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping thy covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. So Daniel is focused on confession of sin. And so we need to do the same thing. We need to agree with God that our sin is that. It's exactly sin. And as Daniel was praying, he acknowledged right before the Lord his sin and the sins of the people. And so what he's saying here is that, Lord, we thank you for your mercy. You've already forgiven us. But we do confess these things. And that's essential for us in prayer. So we have to enter in the presence of God through in prayer and keeping in mind his holiness. And by acknowledging our own sin, that keeps our hearts right with the Lord. And so, so that is a key point here is confession and prayer. And how are we at that? How do we do with that? Do we think of maybe a couple things to confess, but not all of them. I'll leave a few aside today. There's been a lot of things on the list. I don't want to get to all of them. It might take a while. Well, get them out there. Don't hold back. It's not good for us to have an account with the Lord. So going into prayer, there's a recognition that we're not worthy to be there. It's by virtue of His righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, which has covered you and covered me. And so in view of that, we ought to be able to set aside all of our sinfulness. And so this gets our heart ready. And so we need to have our heart in the right clean state through prayer. So, we remember that Paul had a deep sense of sin. In 1 Timothy 1:15, calls himself, he's the chief of sinners, one who is totally unworthy to preach. And so confession was a regular part of Daniel's prayer life too. And it doesn't tell us all the specifics of how often and when and what those things particularly confessed were, but you know, we know that Daniel, back to early age as a teenager, was very rooted in prayer. As I said earlier, it was his practice for at least 3 times per day. So we can also think back to, in our assembly here, we have the Lord's table, Lord's Supper. And, we always, that's one occasion, but doesn't have to wait for that by any means. But we want to prepare ourselves for, in that situation, and what do? We have to examine ourselves. And examining ourselves includes all these things with around confession and being right with other assembly members and so forth. Otherwise, we would not partake in the Lord's Supper. So, I am not saying don't stack up things that ought to be taken care of with the Lord for that right before that Lord's Supper examining part. Take care of it immediately. Don't let it sit. And so, by doing all this and confessing sin and opening up this communication with having a right heart, it gets us right with God and also our assembly members here. So, back to verse 5, it says, "We have sinned and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments." And in verse 6, it says, "Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land." So the list of accusations keeps going. But Daniel is on this to bring out everything that needs to be confessed and how things that the iniquities, things they haven't done right. Not holding back anything, is he? So, we're going to skip down to verse 13, 12 and 13 for a minute. And it says in verse 12, "And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done unto Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth." So in verses 5 through 11, everything is getting out there. Daniel's airing everything that they've done wrong, their iniquities, disobedience, their shame. Everything's out there. And does that motivate them? And does that motivate Daniel to pray? Verse 13 tells us no. "Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord." All these things are stacked on their account. All the iniquities, all the wrongs, all the wicked doings. And yet it motivated them not to pray. Or more like what motivated them to pray not. I couldn't sleep at night with all that hanging on me. I don't know about you, but I'd be on my knees just in fear of the Lord. So I have a really tragic scenario here where all these things are being brought up, rightly so, by Daniel. And yet with all that stacked on their plate, they still didn't pray. So don't let that to be said about me or of us. When there's things that need to be made right, make it right. Put it to prayer. Settle it. And so So again, in the section, Daniel is repeatedly speaking of their sin, and he is confessing all these things, which is what he should do. And over and over, he's got plenty of items to cover here in the confession. So, and he says that they deserve all the judgment. Doesn't say that it's not right. In fact, he agrees with it. So again, he's that acknowledgement that their sin. He's agreeing with God. These things are just. These things are right. And so that's something that we ought to realize, that when there's sin, we agree with God, and whatever judgment may come, we deserved it. Wasn't like it wasn't supposed to happen. The Lord is completely in the right to bring judgment on us. And so that can be a fruit of confession. And so it's an acknowledgement of the sin, and the Lord is merciful to forgive on that. So we're going to look at an illustration here of the book of Joshua about a situation of sin. And chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. And we see here in this section, Joshua is talking to Achan, his son. And so there's some situation where there's some theft, and Achan has been caught on this. And so confession needs to happen. And so let's look at this section here, starting in verse 19. It says, "And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly..." So he's going to tell what he did here. "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." So he's telling, he saw some shekels of silver and gold and so forth, and he desired them, so he took them. He stole them, and they're under his tent. And so in verse 22, "So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord." So, you know, we can see here that he stole some items, and then they've been brought back, and Joshua confronted him. And so the Lord made it very obvious here about what's been done. And, you know, Achan, in as much as he says there in verse 20, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And I did do these things." So, you know, it goes on in verses 23 and following to 26. But basically the point is here that there was a issue of sin here. He was found out. He needs to pray to the Lord. But his sin affected the whole people of Israel. And we see at the end of verse 26 that the Lord turned from his fierceness of his anger. So it was an issue. He took care of it. He settled it with the Lord, and then but it did affect others, not him just individually. And so but we do find out in the end that the Lord heard that that confession of sin, and the Lord turned his anger from it. So we can learn from that as well, that it is effective to confess the sin, and not just empty words for God. Even though God knows all, but we need to do that. He's not going to do it for us. So confession of sin, in wrapping up that section here, it brings about forgiveness and it frees God to chasten us without iniquity. And it's a good lesson because we need to, we tend to wonder why some things don't go the way we want them to go. But the very fact is that, again, the fact that we can even take another breath is by the grace of God. So we have to acknowledge our sin. So Daniel prays the confession, acknowledges captivity, the 70 years in all the judgments and punishments and everything was deserved because of the sin of the people. So then let's go on to verse 15 of chapter 9. And through all these charges and all these iniquities, it says, "And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renowned, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly." Okay, so we're the ones that had to turn on and recognize this to the Lord. So, basically, it's nobody's fault but their own, that the Lord is certainly in his right to bring judgment and bring correction here. So let's summarize where we are so far. So prayer is motivated by reading God's word. It's grounded in his will. We seek his will. There ought to be fervency in our prayers. We have to set our face in prayer. Deny our own self and our selfish needs. Identify with others and identifying with the Lord is that communication, that relationship is all strengthened through our confession of our sin. And it needs to be confessed. So finally, we'll get toward the conclusion here shortly. So the other thing is as we look further here in verse 16, we want to know about, through prayer, we want to connect with the character, the holiness of God. And so through our prayers and through our reading of the scriptures that we can do that. So we call on God. We intercede. We bring our prayers to the Lord. And we're looking for him to respond according to his will and his timing. So let's notice a quick thing back in verse 4 where it says, "And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God." So a couple key words here he describes about the Lord. He says, first of all, that the Lord is great. And that essentially that word is meaning powerful. And so I pray to God because we need his power. We can't do it by ourselves. Not at all. So God, the Lord can turn the circumstances for us. Not of ourselves. So he has the resources. He has control of the situations. So he's the same God in verse 15 that we just read here, that it was the Lord our God that has brought the people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand. And so the Lord has the power. He's the one with the power and majesty. So the Lord is the one to be praised, and he's the one that's worthy. So skip down here. It says, a quick thing back in verse 7. It says, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. So, righteousness belongs to the Lord. In our case, we just have shamed faces. We're the sinful ones. It's the Lord who's righteous. So when we think of the righteousness of the Lord, we think of a God that is merciful and forgiving. We don't deserve it, but through our prayer and through our heart of making things right with Him, we can ask for those mercies and ask for those forgivenesses. So we can say, our God is gracious through all that when He has mercy on us. This is the kind of response that we want in our prayers. So we also think, again, when the Lord is on the cross and what God did when Jesus went to the cross for us. It was through His power that made that happen. And that death on the cross, that conquered sin. That conquered death for us. And He accomplished that. We couldn't have made that happen. So we stand in awe of that. We don't understand that, but we're thankful for it, certainly. So that's the Lord fulfilling His will. That was His desire. He knew that would be accomplished. And so He did accomplish it, and it's settled. It's done. He went to the cross and died for us. So in all this, you know, what Daniel sees, all these traits that Daniel sees in the Lord, the mercy, the forgiveness, the mighty, the majesty, is that what God is to us? Do we do all that in our prayer? And Daniel is fervent about this. He, in the section of prayer, he is serious. He's getting God's attention. He's taken steps to fast and through sackcloth and ashes. He's showing humility. He's genuinely desiring to align with God, know His will, and see His will be accomplished. And so finally, we'll look at verse 19. And it says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. So it's all about, at the very end here, this is his petition. This is Daniel's summary calling after all the confession and identification of iniquities and things that are wrongdoing. Says, Lord, we confess all that to you. We recognize it. We agree with it. We are deserving of nothing but judgment and punishment. So Lord, hear this. Forgive us. And not only that, but listen and act on this without delay. And so he really is, again, Daniel's pulling out all the stops here to get God's attention and get an answer to prayer. And he does get an answer to prayer, doesn't he? In verses 20 and 22 that follow. I'll let you read that on your own. But he does get a tremendous answer to this prayer. And so what do we learn from all this? We want to learn from Daniel's example in prayer. We want to take careful preparation in our prayer. We take it seriously, take it with concentration, take it with our best self. Use the best time of the day. Use the best resources you have. Use your best words. Don't think of the prayer time as an afterthought. Think of it as time you're serious, you're going to give full concentration. You're going to eliminate distractions, and that will be your best communication to the Lord, because he's worthy. And then this will help us, because it gets us back in the Word. It gets us studying the Word. And the more we study the Word, we want to know the will of God. We want to know the holiness of God. We want to pray more. And so we see God's character come out the more we study. The more we're excited about his will, the faster we want to see his will accomplished. And we're going to put our selflessness aside, and we want God's will to be accomplished. And we want to learn that in our prayer time, confession is something that we should not compromise on. It would only strengthen our prayer and our communication with God. And doing all this will bring glory to him. It'll bring a right heart, and it'll bring fellowship with our Lord, and also fellowship with our assembly members here. And so we're going to be use our prayer time the best we can for the Lord. And that's going to be the kind of prayer that honors the Lord. And this is what Daniel did. And so, are you as prepared as Daniel was in his prayer time? So, Daniel received an answer. The Lord will honor us in our prayer time as well, but we have to wait on him in his timing, when it's his will and his timing to be accomplished. So, with all that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we've been able to study this prayer of Daniel. Help us, Lord, to pray as you taught in this section of Scripture for Daniel to pray. Help us, Lord, to get our hearts properly suited each time we come to you in prayer, to have our best time set aside for you, Lord. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, Lord, and most of all, help us to come with a ready mind, Lord. We're fully concentrating, and we confess sin, Lord, and we seek your will, and Lord, that we're setting aside ourselves. Lord, we just ask you, keep us humble this day and the rest of this week. And Lord, help us on our focus to follow you and to serve you, Lord, that your will would be done. And Lord, we just ask you to hear, O Lord, and through hearing, Lord, forgive. And do this without delay. Hearken and do and defer not for thine own sake. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.